I'm having a very, very difficult time with this new Skype, which doesn't work like the old Skype. Everything old is new again. How does that go? Anyway, I just want everybody to know that here we are a couple of days before Christmas. We have had another terrorist attack on our soil, and I'm naked. Buckle up, boys and girls, and lock and load. This is another edition of Political QRM.
Explain to me what a terrorist attack has to do with you being naked.
It doesn't have anything to do with me being...
Wait a minute. Perhaps you being naked is a terrorist attack on us. It's a form of
only
a terrorist attack.
Listen, if you could see me, I'd agree with you, but you can't, so...
Yeah, folks, it happened again in New York City. It happened again this morning. This guy from Bangladesh, his name is Akayed Ula. I did something. I looked into when he
don't,
came.
Don't you go blaming Muslims.
Oh, no, of course not. You know, I looked into when this guy came to the United States and when the other terrorist attack, the other terrorist in late October, early November, Saifullo Saipov, whatever the heck his name, he came from Uzbekistan, you know, the guy with the Home Depot truck, and he killed, what, 12 people or something. Well, both of them, yeah. Let's see, Saipov came here in 2010, okay? And this newest guy, Ula, came here in 2011. Gee, who was president then? Who was president?
Well, it wasn't me.
I know it wasn't you. It was Barack Obama, and they were part of that influx of Muslims that he was bringing to the country. So I put these two terrorist attacks right on Barack Obama, because he willingly brought these people into our country to kill us.
Of course. You know, he's kind of like if you took a picture of Angela Merkel... Mm-hmm. And looked at them negative, it would be Barack Obama.
Jeez.
They're cut from the same cloth.
That's true.
You know, and I don't see any appreciable. The only appreciable difference is nobody's ever actually been able to try and blame Angela Merkel for being an actual Muslim.
Yeah, true.
Culturally or otherwise. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I got a kick out of the president's speech the other day, which is, of course, before this happened, when he turned around and said, Angela! I told her!
Yeah.
I got to tell you something. I mean, I know not everybody I know and not everybody you know listens to us, but I do know some of them who don't. And I do want to say this one thing. Mm-hmm. To anybody who listens to us regularly, occasionally, or just happens to trip over us today, do not dare say, I didn't warn you that this was coming.
That's true.
Don't you dare. Don't even try. Don't even dream about it tomorrow night.
You think the fact that you have to look at it this way, you can't avoid but looking at the fact that de Blasio is still mayor. You think this man maybe has been completely empowered because of de Blasio's excusal to other people who have done things like this?
I saw the press conferences already, all right?
Okay.
And all I can say is, you know, Andrew, ascoltami, tu sei un sfaccino come suo padre. Vai a casa, restai fuori la strada e prende quella stonata de Blasio con te.
And that is all true. Would you please translate?
I was just channeling my inner Bob Grant there, you know what I mean?
You should translate, though. But it's true.
Oh, okay, all right. Andrew, listen to me. You're a sfacim, and I am not going to translate that.
No.
Go to your local go to local Italian barbershop and ask them, or shoemaker somewhere and ask him. All right? You know, as bad as your father was, go home and stay out of the way. And take that stunad, who was a stupid person, de Blasio with you.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, they'll just stand there and they'll make excuses. And did they? Did they make excuses? Did they do the usual blah, blah?
They didn't say that had nothing to do with Islam.
But did they do the usual blah, blah, but that we have to be alert?
Blah, blah.
And it's great that New York City went on as we always do. Did they do that? I mean,
oh, they'll never win.
Yada, yada, yada.
And they say, the one I got a kick out of was, I don't remember if it was the police commissioner or the chief of police or superintendent of something, I don't remember. Turned around and said, in one of the things, said, failed terrorist plot. And
how
I'm like,
can you say it was failed?
I don't know. The pictures I saw, those people look pretty terrified to me.
That's right. You see, they're just looking at it from the standpoint that no one was seriously injured or killed. But what's really what they want to do is, like you said, they want to instill fear. You know?
That's the textbook. You know, that's
exactly.
The dictionary. Yeah. The dictionary definition, you know, of terrorism is to inspire terror. And and they did.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, those pictures, there was I couldn't vet it out thoroughly enough, so I didn't write down the URL as to whether it's legitimate or not, because it could be from anywhere in the world at any time. But there was supposedly video when the Bureau got there that they were reviewing that showed the moment of the explosion. Hmm. And I got to tell you, once the smoke cleared, those people looked pretty terrified to me.
Exactly. Exactly. I just don't think that it's, again, what they're doing is glossing over it, Lou. They're glossing over all of it. And don't forget.
And here's the part.
What?
I hope the guy don't make it.
Oh, they said he was burned, but it wasn't too bad. I hope he doesn't make it either. Personally,
well,
I think what they should do I think they should.
I didn't say I cared. Yeah, go ahead.
What they should do right now is throw him on a flight for Bangladesh in the condition he is in and just send him back. Seriously, I don't think he merits or deserves any medical treatment. I really don't.
Well, here's my problem with that. They'll welcome him home, the conquering hero.
Well, go ahead. Fine. But at least keep him out of here. And, you know, and then again. So then every time somebody from some country, okay, like Uzbekistan, every time somebody from a country does a terrorist attack, that country automatically goes on our terror ban list. Okay, so
yep.
I think Uzbekistan should be on that list, and I also think now Bangladesh should be on that list. Right?
Remember when it was East Pakistan?
Yeah.
Look, I believe you're right. I believe
ourselves.
That they say how could you possibly hold it against an entire nation? Easy, watch me.
Yeah.
You know, I hope he doesn't make it. Listen, I don't care how he doesn't make it. That's not my problem. They say he's burned. Look, I don't care what kills him. I just don't want him to survive and cost us millions and millions of dollars in medical care, millions and millions of dollars in incarcerative care. Incarceration costs, millions and millions of dollars worth of trial costs.
That's right.
You know, and then even at the best case scenario, another couple of grand for, you know, a plane ticket back to Bangladesh. I hope he just doesn't freaking make it.
Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, take a look at the people. Some of them, you know, they had, you know, problems with their eyes or something, and some people said they would see their own doctor or something like this. But the thing is, it's, you know, how many of these people are going to get what he's going to get, you know? They're probably going to have to pay for their doctor. He's going to get it for free, you know?
Or at least whatever deductible they've got to pay under Obamacare.
That's right. Plus the fact that, I'm sick of this. And everybody did warn New Yorkers. Everybody across the country. Whenever you saw something on social media right before the election, they said, don't re-elect Bill de Blasio. What are you people, nuts? So, it's just ridiculous.
You know, I was having a conversation on Twitter about not the same thing, but, it's similar. We were talking about Maine, actually, is what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And I said, Maine is actually a very red state. I said, but there's enough blue, dots on it to make it purple, notably, right. Portland, Lewiston, Auburn, Augusta, mm-hmm. Brunswick, and a good chunk of coastal, from Yarmouth down, to Kennebunk and down to Kittery. You go in 2 miles and you find Mainas, and the rest of it's all essentially Bostonians. I mean, it's really all it is.
Exactly. That's true.
Those other cities are all, and the guy said, well, if that's true, you wouldn't have as many Republicans, and I said, don't say Collins.
No.
Don't say Collins. Don't say Snow. Mm-mm. Don't say it. I said, when I was up there, we had just come off of 40 years mm-hmm. of King and Baldacci, and we were blessed. Nobody knew how Paul LePage was elected. And he turned that state upside down, inside out, and backwards to shake the money back out of it and then back into it where it belonged.
Exactly.
I said, there's no way Medicaid expansion should have taken place, mm-hmm. except for one thing, outside dollars being spent.
Mm-hmm.
All these outside interests spending a lot of money. 1.3 million people in Maine, if each of them gave a dollar, it wouldn't go down like that.
Mm.
And millions and millions and millions of dollars were spent getting that passed.
That's right.
That's all there is to it. Where'd that money come from? It didn't come from the people who just lost their jobs at the last H&H shoe factory. Mm-hmm. It didn't come from the people who lost their jobs when Bridgeton Knitting Mills went out of business. It didn't come from the people who lost their jobs just before Christmas, from one of the pulpwood places up the county. It right. didn't come from them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, all the scare tactics. Think about the children. The children were never uncovered to begin with. Think about the elderly. Well, the elderly were covered to begin with.
That's right.
They didn't need that. So here we are talking about Maine, but here we are talking about New York City. And it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the images coming across the wire of all the empty. I mean empty. Not just a few people instead of thousands, but empty polling places in the city of New York.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. People stayed away. I guess they weren't too thrilled with either one. And they said, no, I'm not going to do this. And if that isn't a statement on the attitude of New Yorkers now, I don't know. Maybe many of them want something different, and there's no candidate coming up. There's no Trump in New York. Because we took the only one out of New York to run for president.
Did.
Yeah. Okay.
We took your Trump. You're out of luck. You're stuck with the German, the fake pseudo ersatz, spurious Italian guy.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I think. Well, look, we saw a couple of people. I'm trying to remember it. Bo, Dietl. But he had to run independent. He couldn't get a party.
There were
but
too
the
many
fact
candidates.
That he ran and he actually
there were too
huh?
many can- there were too many candidates. Like
there's always in yeah. New York City. There's always too many.
I know.
3 million people in the New York City. That's almost 8 times as many as there are in the entire state of Maine.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what?
So
they
it's,
should all stay there.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the problem is the people that could turn New York City around don't live in New York City. They live in Jersey. They live in Long Island. They live in Dutchess County.
New Jersey has their own problems now with that new governor.
Well, yeah, but that's, here's the thing. It's just a question of I've been saying this for much longer than you and I have been doing this together. You know, the liberals have their slogan, vote early and often, mm-hmm. and the Republicans have jobs.
Yeah.
You know, and the Republicans have jobs that have to end at a certain time of the day because their kids have clarinet, piano, ballet, basketball, hockey, and soccer. Mm-hmm. You know, and then they've also got, you know, the church a couple of times a week mm-hmm. and, you know, whatever else that they've got to do. You know, and the libs got nothing to do but sit around. And if they have kids, they sure as hell aren't in a good enough school that they have to worry about, you know, mm-hmm. after school activities.
Right.
You know, after school activities, you know, sideways pistol shooting and mask putting on and, you know, stuff like that. You know, they're the people who elect these absolutely crappy candidates, whether it's New York City, New Jersey, or anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, you know, we are lucky that people weren't seriously hurt or killed in this, but it could have been otherwise. I mean, right at Port Authority, I mean, that's a hub for all the traffic in the city.
Well, they said, you know, the earliest reports were that it was a premature detonation.
That's what they said, yes, because there was another device on him, and one kind of went off and kind of fizzled.
Yeah, had it been, you know, properly set, you know, the timers or the ring pulled or whatever, you know, cell phone button, mm-hmm. it could have been a catastrophe, you know, yes, more so than it already was.
Definitely, yes, most definitely. But you know what? ISIS has warned that New York is going to be a bloodbath during the Christmas season.
Yep.
And I'm wondering if this is just the first of many attacks. And how they handle it, I don't know. Because they seem reluctant to handle it. They really do. They seem reluctant to handle it because they don't want to offend Muslims. Speaking about offending
Muslims.
Well, they
took the...
Go ahead.
And yeah.
I
do it segue. Very well, but go ahead.
Yeah, segue into something here.
All right. Well, let me finish that thought, though.
Yeah,
I have people who look at me as if I've got a second head and it's on fire when I talk about these things. And now they're all not eating crow, but certainly sampling the feathers.
Maybe second.
You know, it's a question. I told people because New York City, for an awful lot of people I know, is a very, very important thing. And it's a very important thing at this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And I
yes.
tell people, head
yes.
on swivel.
Yes.
If you see something you don't like, either say something or at the very least go the other way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And hopefully people are learning from that. Okay, now where's our segue?
Well, our segue is there was a man convicted in Florida just recently. Last year he smashed mosque windows. It was in... Titusville, Florida, and he left bacon at the scene. You know, he kind of did a little destruction and left some bacon, and he was sentenced to, get a load of this, 15 years in prison. Michael Wolfe of Titusville. Florida. He pleaded guilty to criminal mischief to a place of worship on Tuesday. Now, this is my thing. Who cares what he did? 15 years is a little bit too much. And I honestly think that the judge was channeling Sharia law on this. I think he was making it a big deal because it was a mosque and not a church and not a synagogue. These people who do these things to synagogues, they don't get sentences like
that. Had he left, yeah, they people go up and put swastikas on the doors of synagogues all the time.
Yeah, and they get nothing.
You know,
they get a slap on the wrist.
They get nothing.
And they get
6
years.
Months
Why?
In community service.
Wait a minute. You know, sure, it's illegal to go into and, you know, to smash windows and deface a building, criminal mischief, da-da-da-da-da. How many people do you know get 15 years for criminal mischief? Really?
Well, I don't know that I know any, but the part that really pushes it over the edge for me mm-hmm. is, as you said, had this been a synagogue and there was bacon left on the door handles or floor or whatever of a synagogue, let's just say it was the exact same amount of damage and the exact same thing, and he put the bacon on the, you know, because face it, observant Jews can't be, that's you know, right. messing with bacon any more than anybody else.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
It, you know, why would he have gotten 15 years? I seriously doubt it.
No,
and I don't know as it matters if it was the ritziest shul in the country or the little corner one, you know, in the city. I don't think whether it was Hasid, whether it was, you know, Sephardic, Ashkenazim, you know, I don't think it really matters.
No.
He wouldn't have gotten 15 years.
No, he would have gotten six months, I think, and community service.
If that.
Don't
he might have gotten, time served in community service and probation for 5 years or something.
Yeah, so they give this guy 15 years. And then he actually, it'll be followed by 15 years of probation. And
you know, or worse.
It says the sentence.
6 months of no bacon.
The sentence, yeah, I know. It has a hate crime enhancement. So you get 15 years to do this. Now, let's just take one aspect of that, bacon. If he had just left bacon just on the steps, all right, since when is it illegal in our law to put bacon anywhere? It's not. But Sharia law, it is. Sharia law, it is.
It might be a health code violation.
It might be health code, but that's about it. So I'm looking.
Well, God, I don't want to start comparing nation to nation. But there are guys who have gone to jail, maybe not for 15 years, but have gone to jail for eating a bacon sandwich. And if you've been to England, you know a bacon sandwich is a thing. It's like our Taylor ham and cheese on a hard roll. You know, a bacon sandwich is a thing today. It's not like our BLT. It's a bacon sandwich. And these guys were eating a bacon sandwich in the presence of a Muslim, and they went to freaking jail.
Where?
Not got suspended, fired in England.
In England? Oh, see?
Yeah.
So this is starting to spread.
Did you know that in England you can get a stiffer penalty for going online and saying nasty things about Muslims? Then you can get by being a Muslim and protesting and breaking stuff and hurting people.
Yep, I do know that, actually.
Now, here we are in America where we'd like to say, yes, our you know, system of jurisprudence came from the Magna Carta, English common law, all that other stuff. But we kind of tweaked it a little bit for ourselves.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But now here we've got this guy 15 years, right? And yet... one of the kids who live streamed torturing a mentally impaired white guy.
I know.
African American kid gets set loose. Time served.
Son of a gun. Yeah. So see?
Time served and some probation. And some probation.
Wow.
So people say, well, you know, what do you think? Everybody's so busy concentrating on what the president tweets and who he tweets it about. You know, and this skier now who said she wouldn't go to the White House.
Wait a minute. But karma. I honestly think it's karma. I do. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that too, but I'm not sure if it's karma because, you know, these professional athletes, you know, look, they don't have one little injury and it stops them. You know what I mean? They get back on the horse, so to speak. By February, you know, she might be... Hell, she might be in good enough condition to take a gold medal. I don't know.
You know what? How dare she? You know? Really? Who does she think she is?
Well, it's pop culture. It's pop culture. Look at the way the Joy Behar reacted the other day when the report from what's his name came out.
What, CNN?
And it was like, oh. Yeah, but we could prove collusion. No, it was the guy from the guy from Colin, not Colin. Colin?
No, I forgot. Did you forget? I forgot.
The guy's name.
I forgot.
You know, and he said the 4th instead of the 14th, and you know she did a whole whoopee dance. She threw the papers up in the air, the card that was handed to her up in the air. You know, it's pop culture.
Yeah.
It's all there is to it. It's like Chelsea...
Handler?
Chelsea Handler. Now,
oh, my God.
oh, you know, it's almost as if, you know, the way to listen to her tell it, the president went out to the desert in California, the scrub territory out in California, with a book of matches.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You know, if it wasn't for her tweets about the president, she'd have absolutely no relevancy. I mean, they canceled all of her shows, you know.
That's right. That's
nobody
right.
wants to touch her with a 10-foot pole. Mm-hmm. And if she wouldn't, you know, if somebody would take her cell phone away from her, she'd fade into the dustbin of history.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing with the NFL now is going to pay $90,000 or $900,000, whatever it is.
$900 million.
No, it's all popular. It's all
$900
whatever.
Something
I don't know
stupid.
If it's $90. I don't
$90 million. I think it is. I think it's.
I don't care
million.
If it's $100. It doesn't make any difference to me or any sense to me.
Right.
All it's going to do is drive the ticket prices up for more seats to be in.
Well, you know what they're doing with that money, though. You know how they're getting that money. I heard on Rush Limbaugh. They're taking the money that they would spend on breast cancer awareness and, you know, honors for the military that they have at their games. And they're taking the money from there and giving it to these other causes. That's what they're doing.
Well,
I don't hear any feminists
social justice
screaming, hollering, and yelling. I really don't.
That's social justice 101. It's all pop culture stuff. You know, none of it, you know, none of it makes any sense to anybody. To be honest with you, none of it makes any sense to anybody under 35.
No.
Or over 35.
Over 35.
You know, none of this matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's, you know, to the average Joe, you know, 40 and up, you know, 35 and up, you know, he's working for a living. He's got, you know, he's got stuff going on. And we've discussed the NFL thing before. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care about this blonde, you know, skier. He doesn't care about this blonde bimbo. He doesn't care about, you know, any of these things. He doesn't care about Joy Behar, even if his wife sits home and watches her.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter to him. He's got things to do. And most of the thing is, by the time you get to that level, most of the women in that category got other things to do.
Right. You would think.
So, you would think. So, I don't know. What does it all come down to? It all comes down to the fact that the president is getting stuff done.
Yes. And they hate that. They hate it. The left.
They don't even cover it.
That he, I know. Thank God for social media at this point in time. I mean, you know, they are. You know, I criticize it a lot. I really do. I think people use it too much. I myself have been guilty of it. But, you know, you see a lot of things on there that the mainstream media doesn't cover. And they refuse to cover.
Yep. And, you know, did anybody cover, you know, the gains? Did any, you know, the reduction in minority youth unemployment?
I know.
Has changed. Mm-hmm. You know, illegal immigration attempts have dropped like 74%.
Mm-hmm.
Wall Street's closing at an alarming rate. I loved the one tweet, by the way, about right after that happened and Joy Behar threw that card up in the air and people's accounts. What do they call them?
What?
Because I don't have one.
What? Facebook?
The retirement account.
Oh,
retirement
IRAs.
Accounts.
IRAs.
You know, and said, you know, 401ks? Check your IRA and your other different retirement accounts. And if you lost money, sue this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
You know, because, hey, why not? You know, they're chasing themselves around so hard to try and take the focus off what's really happening.
True. That's true. But you know what? They're actually focusing so much on Trump, they're not paying attention to actually what he's actually doing. They're not paying attention to the fact that while he's throwing these tweets out there, that's keeping them busy. There they are, jumping up and down and screaming, hollering, and yelling about the tweet. But then in the background, he's busy doing all this stuff. You know, he's busy taking care of his promises, you know.
Let me tell you something. If he had on January 21st put down his phone
mm-hmm.
and stopped tweeting that morning,
yeah,
with the way things went up until the inauguration,
right?
If that morning he set his phone down and didn't do it anymore, CNN would be out of business.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised, but you know what? No. You know what? I have to disagree with you on that. I think it would make them stronger because then they would control the news. Whereas at this point in time, Donald Trump is doing it.
Yeah.
Because he
right.
can bypass.
You're right. I got to give you that.
He's going to.
Well, the thing is, they took such a hit.
Yeah. And they're going to continue to take a
hit. They took such a hit.
I mean, that. Seriously, you want to use that word again? I'll tell you, as far as CNN and MSNBC, the hits keep on coming, folks. Jeez.
Yeah.
They can't
the
get
the
time
on
of day right.
And I think sometimes the people, if they are still watching those networks, they're watching them for entertainment. They're just watching to catch them in,
that's
you know,
right.
what did they screw up this time?
Amusement.
You know,
yeah. They're really, I have to admit.
And they had, we had a terror attack in New York City this morning, and this, and CNN, you know, what do they got? They got this Schmo D'Antonio on who wrote this book, mm-hmm. you know, The Truth About Trump.
You're kidding, really? That's and what I'm they're like, focusing on still? Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's try and take Trump. Like, well, actually, MSNBC last week, good old Morning Joe. Oh, he's all upset. He said that Trump has some mental illness and should be checked because Trump brought up the fact that this 28-year-old intern when he was a congressman, dropped dead in his office, and there really wasn't a real formal investigation into it. And Trump said, hey, what are the details about that? Why don't you let me know? Of course,
yeah.
Morning Joe went off
the deep
end. Yeah. Morning Joe went off the deep end and started saying that Trump was mentally unstable.
Joe, look around. You want to see mentally unstable? I can knock off about a half a dozen senators and congresspeople without even breathing hard.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, you want to talk about mentally unstable. And although I got to say one of the mentally unstable ones I would have rattled off, and it doesn't really matter which one it is because there were about five of them in the room at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
When they announced these articles of impeachment, mm-hmm. which,
oh,
I'm sorry, hurting your widow feelings is not a high crime or a misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it was tabled, what was it, something like 428?
I know.
Yeah, we're not going ahead with this, sorry.
Al Green, you know. I mean, his bubble was burst. You know what really gets me, though, is that the Mississippi Civil Rights Museum open, and Donald Trump went there, and you had John Lewis, who refused to go there, Representative Benny Thompson, he's from Mississippi. I mean, here are these people who say that they gave their lives to civil rights in this country. They do not show up at this momentous occasion because they don't like the President of the United States. So obviously, in my opinion, the civil rights... Oh, John Lewis. Civil rights movement meant nothing. It's only their ego.
He's an icon.
Well, yes,
I've heard. If I heard it once, I heard it 100 times.
Yes.
He's an icon of this. Let me tell you something.
Uh-huh.
You go to any Russian Orthodox church.
Right.
And there's icons all over the place. You know what they have in common? They've all been dead for 2,000 years.
That's right. Yes. It's disgusting. They won't show up. At such a momentous occasion, my God!
This man just rendered himself. This man just rendered himself completely and totally out of the mm-hmm. civil rights issue. You know, it's like Al Sharpton walking around with that medal dangling around his neck, and it's like Jesse Jackson talking about walking. Have you ever seen the picture of Jesse Jackson marching through Selma with Martin Luther King?
Mm-hmm.
In about three rows back.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like he was linked arm in arm. You know who was linked arm in arm with him in the front row? White people.
Hmm.
You know, come on. This is, you know, Billy Graham was closer to the Reverend Dr. King than Jesse Jackson was.
Jesse Jackson's.
You know, these quote unquote icons.
Yeah.
These icons of the civil rights. Well, let's ask John Lewis. Say, hey, what do you, you know, you didn't want to go to the museum. By the way, of several places, there's photographs of you.
Mm-hmm.
you know, the icon of the civil rights movement, a civil rights movement that had it been left to Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Democrats would never have happened.
No, that's right. They would have really stopped it, definitely.
You know, you decided not to go. And, you know, the president went. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, he's a racist. No, he's not a racist.
No, he's not.
Come on, please drop that. It's over. You know, it's old now. You know, come on, put away the, you know, throw that bread out for the birds before it's so totally moldy even they won't eat it.
Exactly. I know.
You know, do you want to be the icon of the civil rights movement? Well, let me tell you something. The icon of the civil rights movement should have gone there and been there next to the President of the United States opening a museum dedicated to the civil rights movement. That's what an icon, a true icon, would have done.
That's true. That's true. But yet he decided to be a baby. He decided because he didn't like the president, because it wasn't who he wanted to win, he was going to be a baby.
Well, he boycotted the inauguration. He boycotted the inauguration. So.
That's fine. And he can boycott the inauguration in 2022. Yeah? Also, I meant.
Well, whether... whether he's still in a position to have to attend.
I don't know.
Look, these comeuppances are coming. Look, it's happening. Now, I'm not a big fan.
Let's. You're going to get on the sexual harassment thing?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. No, because we should talk a little bit about that. Because, yeah, I just like to touch on that a bit. Because I see something happening here that I want to bring people's attention to. With all these people who are leaving, like John Conyers, who's decided to leave, and he wants his son to take his
place.
And
me, Al Franken.
Well, we'll love it. But I don't know. Did Al Franken actually say he was going to resign? Did he say, or did he say he wasn't going to run again? I'll be honest, I did not hear his remarks.
No, he said he wasn't going to run again. And then he also said he was going to finish out the legislative session. Mm-hmm. And then he also said he wasn't going to wait that long. But he's, as far as I know, he's still there.
Yes.
Who knows?
Well, the thing is,
who knows?
You know, don't forget, Al Franken won, quote unquote, quotes, please, won that election because they found 1,000 votes in some Democrats' trunk, car trunk. That's how he won, basically. So
vote early and often.
Yeah, vote early and often, exactly.
If at first you don't succeed, cheat. You know, so
that's the thing.
I think what happened was he was going to just call it a day, and the party leadership got a hold of him and said, "Look, you're an idiot. You're a terrible, terrible person. You're an absolute disgrace, but don't you dare leave just yet because you'll leave us with a 48 vote."
Well,
you know,
I don't know.
47 vote, you know.
This is my concern over all these people all of a sudden leaving, and they're Democrats, and they're resigning, or they're choosing not to run. I just put it as a hashtag, women's wave, okay? It didn't catch on, and that's fine. But this is what I think the Democratic women are going for in 2018 and 2020. Oh, it's time to elect a woman because, you know, you won't have this type of problem, right? You know, if a woman is elected, you know? And to me, that is the biggest bunch of baloney I have ever heard in my life. Biggest bunch of baloney. You know, like women don't do anything bad. Come on, folks.
I don't know. I don't know if well, first of all, there was, as far as I can tell, one Republican that, you know, disappeared because of it. You know, the allegations didn't even get fully fully read, and he's gone.
You know
gone.
What that was about? He was discussing in vitro fertilization. No, surrogacy. His wife couldn't have kids, so they had a surrogate carry the child. And supposedly, this is what I hear, one of his staffers or somebody got so upset over the discussion like this. And even Paul Ryan said, well, nothing sexual was mentioned, but he's got to go anyway. So basically, Paul Ryan told Trent Franks that you have to resign. Now, Trent Franks is a big Tea Party member. He's part of the Freedom Caucus. And so now they got rid of him. So the Republicans got rid of him.
Mm-hmm. Probably to even out the playing field with the number of Democrats they're losing.
I don't know what's going
on. To try and prevent that 50-vote, you know, that 50-vote rule.
I just think that this whole thing with all these people resigning. No, don't get me wrong. Conyers shouldn't be there. And also Franken shouldn't be there. And anybody else who does something like, you know, where you have absolute video on it. But when you have a woman standing up and saying, like, who is that idiot? There was somebody that said that Trump tried to kiss her in an elevator after something. I don't know who the girl was. Right, and it was right before he was married to Melania. And it's like, well, who's there? You and him. That's it. In the mm-hmm. elevator. So just because you say it, we have to take your
now,
word
here's
for
one
it.
Of the, here's one of the nice things. First of all, elevators have cameras. Second of all.
Mm-hmm. This was years ago. This is 2006.
Yeah, second of all, one of the things we know about the president is he doesn't drink.
Right.
Who's to say that she wasn't a little tipsy from whatever party that was going on?
Right, and she did it.
And she might have said, oh, look, I got this rich guy. Maybe if I'm nice to him, he just got divorced. Maybe if I'm nice to him, I'm the next Mrs. Trump.
Exactly.
And got cozy.
Exactly.
Because let me tell you, and I don't want anybody to misconstrue this from Jump Street. Mm-hmm. I believe 100% that anyone that makes an allegation about anyone in any kind of power, or for that matter, down the street, you know, shouldn't be listened to, believed, and have things investigated. All right? Absolutely. But it should take place in a very, very quick manner, and it should take place. And when they are exposed as not being legitimate, they should be put on the same part of the front page as the person would have been put on had it been legitimate. Mm-hmm. Period. Well, you can't go around screwing up people's lives. And, you know, they talk about, you know, men in power taking advantage of women. What about women in power? Mm-hmm. What about women in power? You know, we see these things. In the last 6 weeks, it must have been 10 teachers I've seen, you know, brought up every state in the union.
Right.
Teachers brought up having, you know, sex romps with their 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old male students.
That's not right. And that's, you know, not right. And why are they doing this? What is it? They're pedophiles. They're pedophiles at this point.
Right. And the same thing. What's a senior partner in some big shot firm, you know, a young guy, junior partner, you know, he's a bright shining star. Maybe he wants somebody to take him under their wing, help them get up to the corner office with the executive washroom key, and that person happens to be a female. Well, I can help you get there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same thing. Listen, I'm not saying for a second that if he sells his body for the job, he's not a Bouton of the way, you know, it would work out if the genders were reversed. I'm just saying that it ain't right. And I'm saying that, you know what, men should be believed. They won't come forward, but they should be. Mm-hmm. There's way too much. Look, how many, if you say, well, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 women have come forward about this person and sexual advances and groping, and that, how many of them are just looking for their 15 minutes of fame or want to put their hand out and get grease on it?
That's true. No, I believe that wholeheartedly. And you know something? I think today's women don't understand exactly what sexual assault is or sexual harassment. They don't understand. Because I'll tell you... When I used to work at NSA, I had a whole bunch of military, and one of the guys that I was friends with, well, many of the guys, I mean, come on, everybody used to get a little off color. Heck, you know, and I used to laugh because I understood. You know why? Because I'm an adult. And and you know what? I'll be honest. You know, Lou, you're in the military. Now, a lot of times, you know, when you're in an everyday situation, I'm not talking about you're at some sort of you know, nice party or something. But if you're friends with a person, you're a little bit more comfortable with them.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little.
And, you know, the offices I worked in, especially this one office that was majority military, I mean, you know, they accepted me. And it was great. And, you know, it wasn't bad. But, you know, a little off-color joke. I used to laugh and I used to go, yeah. I did not ever take it personally. Never. Because there was no reason to.
I work.
Maybe it's because I grew up in male-oriented office. Society.
I worked in an office years and years and years and years ago. Morris County. Was a job that I used to have to actually wear nice clothes for. Right. One of the only two I've had in my lifetime. There was a girl. She worked there. I thought she was pretty. I asked her out. Mm-hmm. We went out, had a nice dinner, a couple of drinks, danced a little bit. I took her home, a little peck on the cheek. I'll see you. We never went out again. Okay, it happened.
It happens.
You know, now if that was today, I'd be in front of HR the next morning.
That's right.
You know, what am I supposed to say? What's any guy supposed to say?
Yeah.
You can't turn around and say, oh, geez. You know, that is your color. You know, you can't say that now because you'll be in HR.
Yeah.
You know, you turn around and you want to get somebody's attention and you just reach out and you touch their elbow because, you know, there's a lot going on in the room. Now you're in front of HR.
That's right. And that's ridiculous. Like I said, I think today's women think that, who do they think they are? You know, queens?
This is going.
The Virgin Mary? This has gone over the deep end.
This is going to put a wet blanket over the way business is done for years.
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. They're going to start not hiring women again. Because what you have here now.
Well, they set back. They talk about the gender wage gap, and they talk about the glass ceiling and stuff. You know what you just did? You just drove women employment into the basement.
Yeah, they did. I honestly
women aren't going to be able to get a job. Women aren't going to be able to get a job in an office building except night cleaning crew.
I agree with you on that one, because it's all of a sudden now you have to take a look at this. I will bet you, in many companies now they're taking a look at this now, looking at the bottom line, they're looking at liability. And they're sitting down and going, okay, we need so many people here, but can we really afford to hire a woman of a certain age who went to a certain university? And they know that, you know, this sort of liberal type of mentality where, you know, like say Columbia with the woman who said she was raped, walked around with a damn mattress. They're going to have to take a look at all this and say, can we really afford to hire as many women as we used to in the past? Because what happens if all of a sudden one of these women say, oh my goodness, this man approached me and, you know, he touched me inappropriately. What do you mean inappropriately? Well, it was on my elbow. How is that inappropriately?
Well, look at the whole thing. What was it? Was it Lewandowski who got thrown off the Trump campaign because he Mm-hmm. Or was it Manafort? No, one of them.
It was Lewandowski. It was at a thing. Where
he supposedly manhandled.
He didn't manhandle her. I saw the video 10 times. He just kind of.
And you know, she's got a bit of a reputation as doing stuff like this.
Anybody who makes an accusation like that, you look in their background and you always find out that they do have a reputation.
It should be vetted. It should be investigated. They should be believed. Mm-hmm. But it should be investigated and investigated.
I don't think they should be believed. I really don't. Because every time now you turn around, and it's like all these women are making these allegations. Look what happened with Judge Roy Moore.
No. Let me clarify. Let me back up. Let me clarify. When I say believe, I think they should be believed enough to be checked out.
Okay, so what happens
if it turns out? They should be believed enough to be until evidence can be brought forward or dismissed, or you know, or if the charges are legitimate, or you know, it took place on December 11th at 10 o'clock. Yeah, well, wait a minute. December 11th at 10 o'clock, you were three states away. What are you talking about?
Right. No, I see what you're saying.
The company Christmas party. Yeah, you were at the company Christmas party in a different office on the other coast. You know, so how do you, you know, you have to look at stuff like that. Or, you know, if you look at her record saying, oh, and it turned out that she had, you know, over the course of 10 years she's been with the company, she's filed these complaints 20 times. All 20 times they were dismissed, and here she is again. Get out.
Okay. All right. Now I see what you're saying.
But that kind of thing.
But these women should
not. I mean, because those guys, with Mattress Mary or whatever she was called. I mean, yeah. Those guys' lives are destroyed. Destroyed!
That's right. That's right.
And she was proven to be full of it.
Yeah.
But their lives are destroyed.
Well, I don't think her they life could, is, right? You know.
No, well, hers can... is not destroyed, but theirs is. Yeah. Because they could graduate magna cum and almost cum laude from whatever program, and they will never work in the industry that they trained for all these years because no company's going to hire them. Because face it, you can't go for a job as the dog catcher that they don't – well, let me have your Facebook address. Let me have your Twitter handle. Let me have your – oh, look, you're the guy from that university that was in all that. Well, it was all dismissed. It was all – well, we don't want the liability.
Yep, that's what's going to happen. But
it's bad for
not only for that, but I think it's going to reflect badly on women. I really do. I think a lot less women, younger women, are not going to get the jobs anymore. And then, of course, they're going to moan and complain and say, oh, my gosh, you know, unfairness and everything else. I really think what they're going to start looking at is they're going to start looking at women going, does this chick have her head on her shoulders or does she? If she doesn't, we don't want her here.
Look, yeah. you brought up the fact that they're going to use this as some sort of bargaining chip in 2018 and 2020. I'm going to tell you something. I said before, just a few minutes ago, that with the identity politics shrinking, I don't think they're going to be able to use this. I think people are going to turn and say, oh, God, no, we don't want to hear that crap for another 4 years from you, 6 years from you, 8 years from you.
Another woman. No, that's the thing, though, that you know, well, they believe that they're onto something here. That's what it is. The Democrats believe, and these women's groups believe that they're – because, they're like I said before, they are very, very upset that Hillary Clinton did not win because they were ready to complain – I'm sorry, proclaim that the glass ceiling had been shattered and we have a woman president and all is right with the world. You know, they didn't get to do that. So now they're very upset, and they're trying to get in there and trying to do that and trying to, you know what, have an all-woman Congress? Let me tell you something. I don't care who you are. I am not going to vote for you just because you have the same parts as I have, private parts, all right? It was like when, what's her face, Carly Fiorina was running for president, you know, and she came up here. There was no way I was going to vote for her just because she was a woman. And do you know I was actually asked that by a Democrat guy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he goes to me, let me guess, you're voting for Carly Fiorina. I said, absolutely not. What are you kidding? In the primary, I said, there's no way I'm voting for her. You're kidding, but she's a woman, he said. And I said, so? Democrat. Identity.
There was also the fact that she really wasn't all that good. You know, people say, well, she's an astute businesswoman. Well, yeah, but...
No. Have you taken a look at an HP's numbers after she was in there?
Yeah.
Slide down.
So, look, I got to say this. I got to say this. I am... I have a... Debbie will tell you. If she was sitting here, she'd tell you. I am a flirt. There's no two ways about...
Okay, wait a minute. Stop right
in
there.
Thought, word, deed,
stop
print,
right
and,
there. Stop right there. What Italian male is not?
Well, it not only am I an Italian man, ergo a flirt, but I am also I've been called a voracious flirt. Okay, and I have it's genetically encoded in me because my father is a flirt to this day, 90 whatever years old that he is still a flirt.
Is he really?
And there's no cut from the same cloth. I got to tell you, and. And, you know, I used to go and I used to have these as a disc jockey. There used to be meetings and stuff that I, you know, we'd attend and, things like that. And even, you know, including some people who were both DJs and musicians and, you know, things like that. I said to them, I said, you know, we were talking about just such things. This is 20 years ago. And I said, son, I said, let me tell you something, young guy. I said, on any given Saturday night, I throw away more numbers than you've gotten in your lifetime. I said, just because you get the number don't mean you got a call.
That's true.
You know, I am a terrible. However, and I have indeed in the past, you know, made passes.
Yeah. And?
And if it was unaccepted, I just backed up and didn't do it again. That's you know, right. But I mean, that's what they call it. You know, remember the old adage, guys don't make passes at girls who wear glasses.
Yes,
you know,
I remember that.
I've made passes. However, and I've had women work for me, and I have worked for women. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, I have never imposed my superiority, and I have never relaxed my inferiority to a person, to a woman, ever. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I have a moral compass, and it still spins, and it still points north. Mm-hmm. And it's just not done. Not now, if you talk about it, you know, if somebody who was, subordinate to me,
right,
said something, and I, you know, well, you know what, not now, because, you know, you work for me, and that could be misconstrued. You know, if it's somebody who I work for, and they said, mm-hmm, you know, I'd say, well, you know what, I work for you, and that's, you know, don't get me wrong, in a New York minute, if I didn't work for you, but, you know, kind of a thing. But there's a reason you don't do these things.
That's right.
You just don't. And I think that it's going, I really believe that that while it's a good thing to have this, the sunlight being the best disinfectant, you know, I think it's a good thing to have this out in the open, but I think hyperplaying it is going to set women's employment back by decades.
I think it is. I really do.
I think it's going to hit them in the ass like a wet dish towel. Mm-hmm. You know, period.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't think they're going to be able to use it in 18 or 20 as some sort of a rung in the ladder. I mean, you know, it's just not going to happen.
No. I don't think so either, because I think that they're biting off more than they can chew, and I think that they've gone too far. And this whole feminist movement has turned into something that is, I have no idea what it is, because they sure as hell aren't out there for women. Like, oh, for example, women who are subject to, you know, FGM, female genital mutilation, or women who are honor killed by their husbands, you know, but of course that's all right in Islam, so they have to excuse that.
And that has personally affected me.
I know.
You know, so look, I think third wave feminism. You know, when we were talking before, and I was talking about the glass ceiling, I was talking about the wage gap and things like this. I don't understand. You know, they talk about having equal rights, and I'm like, name a right you don't have that I have.
That's right. I agree with you on that.
Name one. You know, name one. Anyone. You know, I say the same thing when people talk about, you know, the civil rights. You know, I'm like, name a right you don't have that I have. Mm-hmm. You know, check my privilege. I'm sorry, I looked in my wallet. There ain't one in there.
That's right.
You know, what do you not have that I have? Please explain to me. I want to help. You know, and nobody could ever come up. So the one thing that I got was, oh, you have the right to make a certain amount of money, and if I take the same job, I don't make that much money.
Yeah, but if they see,
first
the
of
thing.
All,
yeah, go ahead.
First, you're talking about per day, you know, per week, per month, or lifetime. Mm-hmm. You know, last I looked, I never took a day off for a period. Mm-hmm. Last I looked, I never took a couple of days off for morning sickness. Last I looked, I didn't take 6 months off for Family Leave Act for having a child.
Right. That's right. Wait a minute.
You know,
and how many days did they take off to bring said child to the doctor, or because the kid was sent home?
Or how many extra hours?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many extra hours they can't work on a project because Jimmy has soccer and Janie has clarinet?
That's right.
You know, all of these things. You know, it just doesn't add up. You know, I mean, period. And they've said, oh, well, you know, that shouldn't count. No, it shouldn't, but it does. Sorry.
It does, though. I mean, because this is time that you're taking away from doing the job that you are being paid for. And if you're not giving the results that you were supposed to be doing as part of your contract, you shouldn't get paid for it.
I'm a middle manager. I'm a middle manager at some, you know, I don't know, hotel company, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
My husband's a middle manager at, I don't know, pick an industry.
I don't know. Right? Food.
He's offered a job for twice as much money in a office three states away. So do you stay here and say, you know, I'll divorce you and stay here and because I'm dedicated to my career? Or do you pick up your kids, you know, load up the truck and move to Beverly, you know, with your husband who's got a better job?
Right.
You know, and it's just, look, there's things that, is it right? Is it wrong? Is it equal? Is it unequal? That's a personal decision, mm-hmm. not a corporate one, not mm-hmm. a real world one. Not everybody else's problem one.
That's right. You know, so
you're a big girl.
That's right. That's right. And a lot of women go, oh, but my children, you know, come first. Really? Then why the hell are you working?
I've had men say that to me.
My children come first?
Yeah.
Okay.
I worked in an industry that involved less than four wheels. Mm-hmm. I had one employee that happened to be related to, you know, anyway. And I couldn't get, you know, weekends out of them. And I couldn't get, you know, after, you know, and not just can't get them to work after 6 o'clock. I mean, there were days I got to leave at 2 o'clock. What do you mean? Well, you know, a kid belonged to some sort of a sports team that was multi-state kind of a thing in high school. And, you know, and one or the other would take them, and if the one didn't feel like it, it's just, oh, you take off and go take them, and it's a wait a minute, you know, it's like, you know, and
was
then when raises came out,
to be like approved, 9 to 5.
Well, eight to six,
whatever.
Actually.
But I'm just saying 8 to 6, and he wanted to leave it too.
You know, yeah. And he was completely unreliable, and it's like, you know, and then the raises came out, and it was like, you know, I approved all the raises. It was my job. I ran the place. Mm-hmm. And didn't get the raise he wanted. And I was taking food out of his kids' mouths. Oh, I said, well, man, go somewhere where you can afford to buy food.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've had men tell me my kids come first. Well, if your kids come first, go take care of your kids.
Well, if the
I'll
kids
hire somebody
come
else.
First, don't you think that, you know, they should be working in order to take care of their kids? Because the kids have to be clothed and fed and sheltered. That's the first thing. I don't know. But, okay, we're getting a little bit off base here, but... You know, I think women are shooting themselves, feminist women are shooting themselves in the foot. You know, and these liberals, they're shooting themselves in the foot because all of a sudden, every time they turn around, they're offended by somebody. But they're offended by something a man did.
Let me
it's
tell
like,
you.
Yeah, really?
Let me tell you. Well, first of all, if you want to be offended, there's enough in the world going on to be offended about
exactly.
without, you know. But, there's a new movement now called Meninists.
Really?
And it started out in what was called MGTOW. MGTOW stands for Men Going Their Own Way.
Okay.
In other words, you know, they'll join the gym, they'll go out, they'll date, they'll this, that, you know, they'll go to their jobs, they'll, you know, go out with their buddies, they'll do all this other stuff they want, and just not care about mm-hmm. having women around for more than a few hours. Mm-hmm. Certainly not in any market for any attachment at all, you know, and it has gone so far as to have, you know, like they talk about the alt-right versus the alt-left versus the center
right.
and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It has gone so far as to have created a movement now called Meninists. It's the He-Man Woman Haters Club. Essentially.
Oh my God, you brought that up. That was from the Witch McCall.
Little Rascals.
That's the Little Rascals,
yeah.
Yes.
Our gang, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like they just don't want anything whatsoever to do with women at all, and they're anti-feminist, and they're all this other stuff, and it's like it's backlash.
Mm-hmm.
It's backlash.
Yep.
You know, the MGTOW thing became a problem because, you know, guys are like, well, you know what? What's in it for me? It's like marriage has gone down, and it's not just the divorce rate has gone up. It's that people right. just aren't getting married. Girls are home now saying, I'm 32 years old. Where is my man? You know, why am I not married? Why am I not? Well, because you're standing there with your pink knit hat on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, or whining about the, you know, the wage gap, and all of a sudden a guy turns around and says, well, what's in it for me? I've got to. If anything happens 10 years down the road, I don't get my kids,
mm-hmm.
and you take half my stuff, including the house.
Mm-hmm.
What's in it for me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, unless he can prove that she's been sleeping with the local dope pusher, you know, he's out of luck. So he says, like, what's in it for me? I've got a brother. He's married. I got nieces and nephews I can have, you know, on the weekends. You know what I mean? They'd be happy to have the relief. But so that's how it started. And now this Meninist movement is carrying it off to the extreme. And this is a problem. Mm-hmm. We're not reproducing enough.
Yeah.
That's not true. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I heard going on with the, oh, we have to let the illegals in and we have to give them all amnesty because we're not reproducing fast enough. Like that guy up there, that schmo up there in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we have to bring these people in because we don't have enough people in the workforce. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what are your unemployment rolls like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're still in the 7, 8, 9%, 10%. Yeah. Well, what's wrong with those people? Mm-hmm. You know, why don't you give them the jobs? You know, so, yeah, well, don't get me started on them either because, you know, that's enough, you know, with this whole thing with this, I can't think of a even mildly polite word for the guy that shot Kate Steinle. I really can't.
Oh, God, don't even get me started. But wait a minute, I just want to bring something else up. You know that woman who was, what's the last name, is Nelson, the one who accused Judge Roy Moore of, you know, groping her or something, and he wrote in her yearbook, to a really nice girl at Christmas. Listen to this, at Christmas time, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, there's a few things there. Now, you have heard that she admitted that she doctored it, right? She added some things. Okay. Now, the thing is that on one of the social media things, so the guy writes into the yearbook at Christmas time. Since when, saw this on social media, one guy wrote in and said, wait a minute, I used to be on the yearbook committee. Yearbooks don't come out until the end of the senior year. Never.
Pretty much.
Why is he writing something there during Christmas time? You know, she wouldn't have her yearbook then. You know, so it's like everything is a fake. So, you know, this woman is being blown out. Of course, Gloria Allred. So, you know, this woman is being blown out of the water.
Well, Gloria Allred, first of all, she would not allow it to be examined.
That's right. Remember, you know, that. So this kind of just falls into place with all these women who are just making things up. They're just all
Gloria Allred is the Al Sharpton of womanhood.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, it's just silly. You know, look, if I were the guy, she's bringing this and she wants to, you know, prosecute this case, you know, or litigate this case of some sort or another other than in the court of public opinion, well, then you owe the opposite side discovery. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the rules. You know, and if you won't allow your evidence to be examined, you render it inadmissible.
That's right.
And by holding it up, should this go to litigation of any kind? And she has shown evidence to the public at large without allowing discovery, and it goes, she's opening herself up to, you know, at the very least, a contempt citation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, if not, an obstruction charge.
Yep.
You know, because to face it, if you had some sort of a thing like this, which court would you prefer to litigate it in? The one that everybody's in favor of now, the court of public opinion, the court of social media.
Right.
You know, why take a chance with some old guy in a black robe?
Yeah.
You know, when you can have Twitter decide for you.
That's right.
So, you know, I think the whole thing, and I'm not going to say I'm a fan. I'm not going to say I'm a detractor. I'm just going to say that as far as Judge Moore is concerned, that's right. Up to the people of Alabama.
That's right. It's balls in their court now. And that is tomorrow.
I really have nothing to do with it. I mean, I'd like to see. I don't want to see the other joker get in.
Jones? Oh, my God. You know, people, but, let me just say, anybody in Alabama, if you know, seriously, I hope you do vote for Judge Roy Moore, because this guy wants to bring more and more illegals in and wants to, you know, he's a Hillary follower. Does anybody realize this?
Sanctuary state and
yes. Take your money,
all that kind of stuff,
them.
Which I just don't see, you know, the people of Alabama really wanting to deal with that. But I don't want to shoot myself in the foot. So I'm not going to say, but it was one of the older newspapers that now has, you know, as much online, if not more than they do. It was written, they were writing something about Judge Moore and about him being a Holocaust denier, Jew hater, anti-women, anti-minority, racist, homophobe, da-da-da-da-da. And the thing is, there were you hover over all these quotes and you could click links. I mean, there was like two dozen or so epithets hurled at him that I didn't get a chance to track down by the time we went to air.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how could you? That's, you know, that's just plain wrong. I mean, I didn't get a chance to read the article, so they may have worded it, you know, just so. You know, so that it avoids, you know, a libel. But not for nothing, but in this day and age, I can't imagine even major newspapers, I can't even imagine them being so cautious as to avoid the ability to, you know, to the appearance of libel, whether it's provable or not. You know,
exactly.
I mean, the appearance of, you know, would we have five major news outlets publish five major facts and all five of them had to be walked back in like a two-week period?
Exactly. Yeah, I know. They're just they're killing themselves over trying to get Trump in one form
well,
or
I
another.
Well, I like the explanation I heard as a soundbite, and I don't remember if it was from Morning Joe or AM Joy or one of those, that the reason it's happening is not because they're out for Trump. It's not that they're in a hurry to try and nail him or something. They're in a hurry, and they'd rather retract it and get it out there so that the American people, and it doesn't destroy the credibility of the mainstream media, it improves it because it shows that they've getting it out there in front of the people, and then when they're wrong, they say they're wrong, and they retract it or they walk it back or
they never
whatever.
Really, and they don't retract it. Or they do, they kind of go, oh, okay, well, just a clarification. They don't say, oh, we got it wrong. Clarification.
On page, on the bottom corner of page C16,
Or, you know, right as the credits are rolling for the that portion of the news, you know. So, Jerusalem.
Don't start me on Jerusalem just yet.
Okay.
You keep our listeners company for a second, I'll be right back.
Okay, so we're not going to do Jerusalem yet. Okay, fine.
Well, yeah, we are.
I know. No, I'm just concerned. I'm just concerned that, I'm not concerned. I think feminists are shooting themselves in the foot with all this. I think that the everyday American woman who does get up in the morning, who does get out there, who has a no-nonsense attitude and has her head on straight, perhaps she will be able to get a little bit further. Maybe her glass ceiling. Although I really can't say that there's a glass ceiling. I've worked. You know, people are idiots, whether they're a male or a female. I've had male bosses that have been great. I've had female bosses that have been horrible. Not only have their personalities been deficient, but they've been nasty. They've been evil. And, you know, so... It's not just a woman who is the, what can I say? Wait a minute, did you know that there was actually, and this is scuttlebutt that I got from somebody, that there was a certain California woman senator before she retired, when she was younger, she basically used to kind of just pick from interns, male interns, for the weekend or for a Friday evening. Seriously, I heard that. No names, but that's what I heard. You know that?
I never heard that one.
I did. Nasty.
I never heard that one.
That was many moons ago, though. way before she retired.
Oh, didn't I just say that?
Yeah, you did.
That, you know, who's to say that, you know, a woman of power. Look, this goes right back. You know, we talked the glass ceiling. Hillary hit her head on the glass ceiling. Why? Because while she was on her way up the rungs of the ladder to the glass ceiling, you know, the considered glass ceiling, the 2016 race.
Right.
She banged her head off of it because on top of it was standing Bill.
Exactly.
Well, she couldn't, you know.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, she basically ruined her own chances anyway. I mean, she's done nothing. You know, she lost her law license. I mean, she was thrown off the
Watergate
commission.
Well, that whole thing. Look what she did to those eight women.
I know.
Accused Bill.
By the way, do you know who they want to run? Who some Democrats want to run for president in 2020? Michelle Obama.
Well, I know about a half a dozen of them.
Michelle Obama.
Oh yeah.
I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. I had heard that the other day.
You know,
I mean, I knew I had heard the.
If you got to compare
the rumors of Chelsea and the rumors of Kamala Harris and the you know, all those, but I hadn't heard until the other day.
Yep. Yeah, but you know something.
Oh, baby.
Take a look, though. Take a look side by side. Her record compared to Hillary's. They're identical. They both had, they both got their, what is it, license for law or whatever, you know. But then they both lost it, okay? She had a know-nothing job, Michelle Obama,
in the hospital because
of her husband. Wait a minute, was Senate. And then Hillary had the same thing at a law office.
Yeah, but
she did nothing.
Hillary was never disbarred. Hillary was never disbarred.
No, she wasn't.
Yeah, no, Bill was.
I know,
no,
Bill was. But wait a minute. Hillary didn't. I thought Hillary doesn't. There was
now,
something with Hillary.
There was
though.
A rumor that she had actually. But she was never disbarred. I think she turned in her law license or something,
okay.
But she never was disbarred. And I think Michelle Obama, the same. I think she did. She turned in her law license for some reason.
She lost it. I honestly think she lost it for some reason.
I just don't want to be all fake newsed up here. I mean, there's
right.
a lot of rumor
no,
and innuendo
you know
in this
what?
Day and age.
Take a look at it, though. I mean, Hillary, she basically hitched her wagon to Bill's coattails. And the same thing with Michelle Obama. She was nothing. Seriously. They really basically did nothing. Both of them.
Well, he was nothing.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is that now they're going to run somebody who's the exact same Hillary, except a different color? They must really think that the American people are stupid.
They do. They do. Hillary is on record in that interview with what's his name? Mm-hmm. Not Rove, not
I forget. Sorry.
Oh, you know who I mean. The guy who he was another one in their campaign. And he went freelance after they came out. And the American voter is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the American Democrat to vote, you know, is easy. That's the easy part, she said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she calls. So she. Here's the thing, people. I put those memes up on social media as often as they came across my desk because, you know, she called us deplorables, which means she just alienated, you know, 60% of America. But she called her own side stupid.
Yep, exactly.
You know, you want to trace that back? You want to keep going? You want to carry it further back? LBJ signing the Civil Rights Act.
That's
or the
right.
War on Poverty Act.
That's right.
You know, here's a man who is absolutely, positively, openly, no two ways about it, wouldn't deny it to your face that he was a racist.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Oh, man.
So anyway, on to Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. Yes. So Donald Trump has said he is going, President Trump has said that he is going to stick to his promise that he made before the election, and he will be moving our embassy to Jerusalem because, yes, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And the Arab world.
Same promise made by the last three presidents, by the way.
This was voted in 1995 by Congress to do it, and it was never done. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Europe and the Arab world are going absolutely out of their minds. There have been some problems in Jerusalem of very angry people. Arab countries are warning Trump. I like that word, warning Trump, not to do it.
Yeah, I love that.
It's like, yeah, okay, go ahead. Yeah, yeah, you tell him that he can't do this. What?
You know, listen, Mamet. Have you met this man?
I know.
Yo, Mustafa, have you met this man?
I know.
Take that towel off your head so you can hear.
I know. You have Erdogan, who is like, oh, he's awakened the Muslim world and everything. It's like, oh, shut up. I mean, you know, he's ruining Turkey. I mean, Turkey should be thrown out of NATO. It really should.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
I think this is wonderful. Netanyahu and people that I follow who were Israeli Jews are so happy over this, you know, and they thank Trump for doing this. And hopefully, you know, it's going to be a while. It's going to take about 4 years before we get our 3 to 4 years before we get our embassy all set up there. But I think it's a wonderful thing.
Well, we have our coffee every morning. Mm-hmm. We have our coffee every morning. We're sitting there, and it's that time of year now, since the weather has cooled a little bit, mm-hmm. That Debbie's been doing a lot of baking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you bake a batch of cookies, there are some that you're not going to put in the basket for old Aunt Irma. You're going right. to, you know, eat them at home because they cracked or whatever.
That's right.
So I've got this bucket of cookies and stuff, and muffins and such. That I have with my coffee. Everyone, we're sitting there, and when this all started and started to take place, it was the other day, because it was at I think about 1300 that the president signed the executive order saying we are moving mm-hmm. the embassy. Mm-hmm. And she turned to me and she said, "Why would any Jew not be really tickled about this?" Mm-hmm. And I said, well, it's very simple. I said, first of all, you've got a bunch of people in this country of the tribe mm-hmm. that really, just because, you know, the same thing as you got to say about anybody else, really? Just because you can't think of any rational reason, but they hate him. Mm-hmm. And they hate him enough to say, I'd rather have, you know, the embassy in Tel Aviv or Haifa or anywhere else other than Jerusalem because I hate Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I said, then you've got a certain aspect, you know, a certain percentage of the members of the tribe who do understand why they don't like him. It's because they were Hillary or Bernie supporters. Mm-hmm. I said, you start seeing this, you start, when you get off the street corner shul and you start moving up into the, you know, upper middle class, you know, nicer cars in the parking lot, you know, kind of a thing. Actually, if you see cars in the parking lot on a Friday, you can almost guarantee they don't want the embassy moved because you can almost guarantee they did not vote for Donald Trump.
Right, exactly.
You know, and then, you know, you get to the core, and they're not Zionists. They're just not Zionists.
No, they're not. No.
You know, I'm a Shagetz and I'm a Zionist. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but then again, here's the other thing, too. I've been to Israel.
Mm-hmm. So tell me.
I've been to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. I've been to Masada. You know, I've been these places, and you know something, I can tell you that I can walk into some very large temples mm-hmm. and no one, maybe the rabbi, other than that, no one has been to Israel.
Hmm. Yeah.
You can't go and have that dirt in your sandals, to right. coin a little biblical paraphrase there, and not feel it. Mm-hmm. It's one of those, what the Hindu call a world navel. Mm-hmm. You know, what the Buddhists call a world navel. Like the Bodhi tree, you know, for Buddhists and right. and like Varanasi for the Hindu. It's a world navel. You can't not be affected there. It's like the Hall of the Charters of Freedom in D.C. in the archives. You can't not be affected by being there.
That's true. Definitely.
Yeah. And if you are, you know, change your medication or something.
So get on medication.
So, you know, but I'm saying there are people who don't. And look, I gotta think that I would like to think that here in the United States of America, the vast majority of Jews would be happy about this.
Mm-hmm. You would think.
Even people who didn't vote for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Even people who did vote for Bernie, or even people who was a self-deprecating Jew. Even people who did vote for Hillary, who had no use for Jews whatsoever, because, you know, you can hear what she used to call her Jewish Secret Service people. You know, even people who voted for, I don't know what, Lyndon LaRouche. is he still alive?
I think he died last year. I can't be too sure.
Well, I got to tell you, I remember seeing him on Phil Donahue in the 80s, and I thought he was dead then.
Yeah, everybody thought he was dead year after year. Wait a minute. You know, oh my gosh, he's running again? I thought he was dead.
Yes.
He's one of those guys, yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't know how you feel about, well, I can probably guess how you feel about moving the embassy to Jerusalem, but,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, Ahmed, it's like this.
Yeah.
You know, come here, I want to talk to you. You know, Vinny,
hit him with the bat,
you know, like, we're going to go over, and I think they're really worried, and I think the reason that they're worried is because they're afraid that, you know, if we do move the capital, the embassy to the capital of Israel, instead of at the de facto capital, mm-hmm. they're afraid that it's going to create, you know, a complete loss, because they're afraid that the Jews and the Christians are going to want, you know, a lot of the rights back that they don't have. Mm-hmm. They're going to want to be able to visit the temple, the wall. They're going to want to be able to excavate, you know, archaeologically. They're going to want, the Christians are going to want to be able to, you know, mm-hmm. you know, travel the Via Dolorosa or go to the Holy Sepulchre or go to Nativity, Church of the Nativity, without hearing, you know, five times a day.
Yeah, I know. God in heaven.
And, well, you know, myself personally, it sounds like they're actually strangling one of those goats they heard across the desert. but, you know, one of our former presidents used to say it was the most beautiful sound in the world.
That's right. Yeah, I know. Sorry, for me, it's the Star Spangled Banner. To him, it's the call to prayer. You know, geez,
you know, well, I grew up in the Latin, the Latin Rite, you know, mm-hmm. Roman Catholic Mass, and I got to tell you, that didn't sound so good to me either. So, you know, to me, it's the Star Spangled Banner as well. So, look, I think it's wonderful. I think it's fabulous. I think that if that's what they're afraid of, that we're going to, you know, be over there and we're going to be all, you know, in their face and take over and stuff like that, you know, I don't care.
Mm. Yep.
And if they think that they're going to get away with just saying, well, you know, you don't understand, I've got a scimitar and I've got, you know, Semtex in my shoe heel. Mm-hmm. A la Ak Bang, baby.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep.
You know, I get a big kick out of these people who talk about the Crusades, you know, and say, well, you know, in the name of Christianity, you know, and well, in the name of the United States, you know, the whole thing with the Barbary pirates.
Well, yeah, what? Well, the Crusades. Come on, people were trying to get to the Holy Land. They were beset upon by Muslim tribes, whatever the heck you want to call them, who would rob them and steal them and kill them. They weren't allowing them to go to the, it's ridiculous, to the Holy Land. That's what this was about.
Yeah, that's what it was about. And they didn't kill as many people in the Crusades. As a matter of fact, if you look at it, first of all, mm-hmm. during the Crusades, mm-hmm. all right, not that many Muslims were killed compared to Christians. Second
That's
of
true.
All,
mm-hmm.
not that many people on both sides were killed, as in everything that's taken place so far.
Definitely. That's true. That's true.
And third of all, I don't care.
Yeah, I know.
You're a 7th century death cult.
That's true.
You're not the religion of peace. You're the religion of pieces. You want pieces of people all over the countryside. No.
That's what it's all about.
So if you're offended, Muhammad, I don't care. And if you're going to clown around because you're offended, like most of the liberal snowflake weenies over here are going to get upset when they, hear things they don't like to hear, mm-hmm. We can fix that. We have medication for it. As a matter of fact, I offered to play pharmacist on social media the other day.
You did? Why? What happened?
Yes, I did. I did. I said, listen, I said, just pick a rooftop either near Jerusalem or near to Gaza or near the West Bank.
Yeah.
Because the missiles have already started flying into Israel again.
That's true, yes.
Pick a rooftop or pick 4 or 5 of them so you can move me around.
Right.
Bring me lunch, mm-hmm. couple of snacks a couple mm-hmm. of times a day, lunch in the middle of the day. Keep me in coffee all day and whiskey all night. Give me a Barrett in 50.
Mm-hmm.
And go off about your business. Come back for me at the end of the day. Put me on a different rooftop tomorrow so they can't, pattern out the fire. And I'll give them a prescription for lead orally, 630 grains at a time.
Works every time, doesn't it, Lou?
It's always worked for me.
There you go.
I don't know about anybody else. It worked for me. It works. I can make them feel real. I can make them feel all better.
Mm-hmm.
At 2,150 feet per second.
Yep.
No problem. Oh, and by the way,
mm-hmm.
I'm good at it.
Yeah, I know you are. Mm-hmm. Yep.
They open up one of those mud huts, they'll pull that corrugated steel out of the way and stand there with the mouth of that thing sticking out that roof, and some guy at the back gonna pull the switch and he's there yelling Allahu Akbar. Bang.
Goodbye. Allahu Akbar.
Well, it's only seen as a recruiting tool. What did Justin Trudeau say the other day? If you kill your enemy, he wins.
Yeah.
Is that, I got, good. I want to make them all winners.
Yeah, let's make them winners. Why not?
Like this schmo over there this morning in New York City.
Yeah.
Do they have like a participation trophy? Like, because he didn't blow it up right and he didn't blow himself up. So when he dies, does he only get like 12 virgins or something? Like,
fortunately, the guy's
nice
still
try. Alive. Yeah, but I'm saying when he does go, does he, when he gets there and, Allah says, well, nice try, you gave it, you did at least try your hardest.
Oh,
here's
geez,
your participation,
yeah.
Virgins,
oh,
you know, kind of like the way we raise our kids.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Because now they tell me that calling a snowflake is bad for their mental health.
Oh, poor babies. If they're going to get that upset, then they have more problems than they should probably be seeing a psychiatrist, psychologist, whatever, if they're going to get upset like that.
Interesting quote. People always talk about having a better earth to leave our kids. How about having better kids to leave our earth?
I like that. Oh my gosh, that's excellent. Excellent.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's an excellent point.
Definitely.
So what is your gut level? Your mama mia, that's a summer spicy meatball, plop, plop, fizz, fizz moment on Jerusalem.
What you want my opinion? Or my, I think it's the right thing to do. And I also think that, I think the Arab world Muslims are going to be coming out a little bit more now. But in a way, I think what it'll be doing is they'll be exposing themselves even more. I think it's a good move. I think it's a good move because it shows Israel that we are Israel's friend, real friend, We do have respect for them, but it's going to be a little bit dicey until either something blows up, literally, or we're just, you know, consistently dealing with terror attacks because of this decision. Of course, they're going to try and use this as an excuse. Oh, yeah, you know why we did this terror attack? Because Trump's moving the embassy to Jerusalem. It's like, no, yeah. You know, you've been doing this before he moved it. So, no, we can't.
All these people, you know, whether it's Theresa May, whether it's Justin Trudeau, whether it's Angela Merkel, whether it's any of these people that are saying that terror in the cities is a new normal and we should just adapt. Mm. You know what? You know what, Angela? You want to? You know, I loved that when he said when he said that at that rally the other day. And I says to her, Angela, that was hysterical. You know, just the way he said it, and he said it like three times. I mean, it was like it was such a, I look at this and I'm like, you know, no. Well, you know something, in Berlin. You want it to be your new normal. Have a nice time. That don't affect me one bit.
Right.
You know, in Versailles, you want that to be your new normal. In, you know, Brussels, right. You know, in Liège, in, you know, Amsterdam, you want that to be your new normal. Good for you. Have a nice time. It's your country. It's your city. It's not mine.
Yeah, exactly.
But in the Big Apple, no, that's not the new normal.
No.
And I refuse to allow it to be.
I
refuse it, like the Governor Moonbat out there now. Well, you know, wildfires are going to be the new normal for this part of California.
Amazing? Hey, you know what, Governor Moonbat? If you guys actually cleaned up the brush and didn't keep it down because of some stupid conservation type of thing, a lot of this stuff wouldn't happen. But what the heck? What do they know?
Well, there are only 12 Southern California rock crickets left. And they're on this one square acre, so we've got to protect like 3,500 square acres to protect it until the wildfire comes in and they're gone. Now what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Every single enviro whack job that has walked into his office with a piece of paper saying, we need to legislate this. Why? Well, it's environmental. Okay, and he signs it. And then nobody stops to not only see is it legit, nobody stops to see is it going to counter-effect some other thing he signed 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nobody stops to say, oh, well, we did an environmental impact. Did you do it in comparison to the other environmental impact crap you got going out there now? 35 regulations, 38 of them, you know, counteract each other? No.
Funny thing is.
And, you know, like the whole thing, all their water stuff, they've got all this water being shunted away to save 2 tons of 2-inch minnows.
I know. Do you know that Donald Trump was talking about the wall? You know, people have been wanting the wall, but you know what stopped it all the time is these environmental studies. So all of a sudden, you know, the government's going to court because somebody filed a lawsuit saying, you know, some stupid, you know, bug needed to be protected. It's like, how ridiculous. How ridiculous. You know what? I think we should...
Some stupid bug.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. This stupid bug can't climb a wall?
I know.
This stupid bug can't fly over a wall?
I know.
This stupid bug can't, you know something? If that bug is too stupid to climb over or fly over the wall, I hope it just disappears.
Yeah, I know. It's called natural selection, folks.
That's right. And besides, some of those wall designs, I've seen them, are, you know, air and water permeable. They're not, you know, 100% wall. As long as there's enough wall to, and you know, I've said it before and I said it again, people want this wall.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
People don't want this. There was another one, a drunk driver killed a kid, you know, ran in and killed this kid. He had been deported 20 times.
That's right.
Not even 5, 20 times.
I know.
You know, and it's not the only 2 examples. And people want this wall. Build the wall. People keep saying it. And don't tell me it's just because, you know, it's because he's rallying his base. Remember, when we started this whole journey 2 years ago, I was not part of his base.
That's right. You weren't. You were not.
And I am now.
Yep.
But people want this stuff stopped. Mm-hmm. And the DOJ and the customs enforcement people are saying the president has allowed us to do our job.
That's right.
And the numbers bear that out. Mm-hmm. And the I've said it before, you know what, you want a stopgap, you know, they put up those five prototype walls and they're going to decide which of them go here, which of them, some places you don't really want a wall, you want a fence, and, you know, stuff like that. In the meantime, for a few million bucks, you can buy a lot of concertina and a lot of land.
That's right.
And sensors and, you know, you could, you know, for a few million bucks, you could buy a couple more, you know, Apache helicopters. I'm not saying put 50 caliber machine guns on them, obviously not.
Right.
Because people would look at me silly if I said that, so I'm just not going to say it. It's not what I'm not thinking, it's just what I'm not saying.
That's right.
Keep that in mind.
Yes.
But, you know, people, look, General Mattis, well, the president said go do it. He did it!
That's right. They're beating the crap out
he
of ISIS.
He did it! There is no more caliphate! Mm-hmm. It's well, gone.
They're beating the crap out of them. I mean, they're on the run. They're being run into the ground at this point. Thank goodness. But you know something? We have to be even more vigilant, because the more they get beaten in Syria, the more they're going to be popping up around here, and they're going to be doing things, because their overall objective is to kill us.
Yep.
So, you know. Yep. And to take over, so we have to be vigilant here, and consider.
And I'm not going to end today. I'm not going to end today with a joke.
Why not?
I know. Well, because I got away from it for a while, and then I did a couple of podcasts with it. But this time, it's just too important.
Okay.
You know, one of the things involved in our move from up to Maine. Mm-hmm. It came down from up to Maine, you know, to where we are now within a, you know, an hour and a half or so of New York City. Mm-hmm. The reasons were myriad, but one of them was the fact that New York City is that important to me. I grew up riding the subways, playing hooky, going over there, you know, mm-hmm. kind of a thing. It's an important place to me. I don't want this stuff happening there. I sure as heck don't want it happening in, you know, Allentown, Pennsylvania either.
That's true.
But I don't want it happening. Hell, I don't want it happening anywhere in this country. And I want to impress on people. I don't want to impress on people the I told you so aspect of this, but I do want to impress on people. People, it's Christmas time. The most important time of the year for many of you. Hanukkah starts tomorrow.
That's right.
Christmas is in here in a couple of weeks. The most important time, you know, as far as if there's a Muslim winter holiday, I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, for a lot of us, and it's an important time, even in a secular basis.
That's right. True.
You know, and people are going to Times Square, and people are going to Rockefeller Center. You know, if nothing else, to see if they catch a glimpse of Matt Lauer. Sorry, folks, he's gone. You know, you have to look at the naked guy holding the globe. You know? but, I mean, you know, it's an important time of year. The tree, the skating rink over there at Rockefeller Center. You know, Macy's windows, you know, and Times Square in 3 weeks is going to be even, you know, more populous.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, these things at the subways, you know, Fifth Avenue, you know, all of it is such an important thing culturally.
That's right.
Please, please, please put your head on a swivel. Just because you're looking up like most tourists do, look around. Mm-hmm. And for God's sake, if you see something, say something. San Bernardino would not have happened if the neighbors across the street weren't afraid to be called racist.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And people died because, you know, people were too afraid.
If you see something, and if you don't want, if you don't believe you have the intestinal American guts fortitude to say something, go the other way. Don't make yourself a victim. And for God's sakes, put your phone down.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
See something, say something. Head on a swivel. It's called situational awareness and statistic avoidance. Mm-hmm. Don't become a statistic. Don't give them the opportunity. Don't give them the pleasure. Don't give them the victory. Whether you're anywhere near New York City, whether you're anywhere near Boston, whether you're anywhere near Maine or New Hampshire, whether you're anywhere near Spokane, Seattle, Dallas, or, you know, Western, you know, Eastville,
right. Yes.
You know, North Dakota.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Have a wonderful, safe holiday season. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas.
Buon Natale.
I don't know, Amory, what do you got to say about it?
Buon Natale.
That's Buon Natale.
Buon Natale.
Yeah.
No, seriously, folks, this is probably going to be our last one for the season. Unless we can do another one right before. What do you think?
Well, today's the 11th. Tomorrow starts Hanukkah, which means, you know, it's not like I can't use the radio or something. You know,
yeah, I know. I'm just thinking we're getting a little bit too close to stuff. So, you know, we might not be doing it until after Christmas. So
our party is this weekend, on Sunday, mm-hmm. which means Saturday's out because I'll basically be in my wheelchair dodging the vacuum cleaner, if nothing else.
Get out of my way!
Yeah, so, you know, our party is this weekend, but if we can fit one in between now and then, if we need to, and believe me, if the situation arises, believe me,
we will.
And then between the 17th and the 25th, we're leaving here for down ashore on the 24th. We have a house sitter with her dog coming in here to sit with Jackie. And the shotgun will still be here, folks, so don't get any ideas.
she knows how to use it. Okay.
So if we need to get one in between the 17th and the 23rd, we could probably do that. If we wake up one morning and find out that the guy didn't blow it, he blew up the subway, mm-hmm. In the face of anything else completely untoward happens. Yeah, but other than that, I think we're basically just going to wait.
Yeah. It'll be a safe season.
Oh, hey. Look, there's Jack.
We got a new puppy dog. He's not a puppy. He's 5 years old, folks. He's a Malamute. And we went 3 hours up in the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont to pick him up. But I'll be honest, he's huge. He's only been with us, he hasn't even been in this house for 24 hours yet, but... he seems to be fitting in just fine. He really is. So,
it looks like he found out where the floor was because he laid his butt down on it.
So. He's been, all over the place. And the only thing is now we have to make sure that he makes friends with the Pudlet. Pudlet's nose a little out of joint. He's a little bit intimidated, but Jack has been nothing but sweet toward him. Shows no aggression.
Nothing but a gentleman.
Yes, he has. He's been a very gentleman. So I think he's going to be a very good addition to our family.
He's magnificent.
He's a sweet boy.
I said that about you.
He's a sweet boy. You sweet boy, Jack.
Magnificent.
As he chews himself. By the way, he is a long-haired Malamute, which, by the way, means that he has a recessive gene in him because... The standard is just your basic Malamute that we had before, which was Sammy, who had typical Malamute hair, fur. So this guy's a little bit long-haired in some places. Actually, mostly kind of like – and plus he's also a little thin. He's about 10 pounds underweight. He's had a somewhat sad life.
What's he supposed to be?
but it's going to be better now. It's going
to
be
better. What's he supposed to, how much does he weigh now?
100 pounds, I believe it is. 109. He's got to be closer to 120 because he's a big doggy. He's bigger
than Sammy. Doggy.
He's taller than Sammy, and he's longer than Sammy. And but he's okay. He walks very well on the leash, you know. Everything's cool, and I think it's just a breaking in period. But I don't know. As you can see, Lou, and Lou's looking at him, he's just laying on the floor, just, you know, chilling out.
Just, yep. He looks, yeah, he looks so set upon, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah,
he
goes, I know.
He looks, he just looks so stressed. I mean, my goodness, he should just learn to relax. You know, it's like, relax, buddy, take a break.
And there he goes. He says, rub my tummy.
Mm-hmm.
Rub my tummy.
There it is. There's the belly.
I think he's going to fit in. Well, you know, I should post a picture or two on there just to show people what
he
looks like.
Yeah, you should.
My Jack boy. So anybody, everybody.
Did you see that picture I just, did you see the picture I sent you?
On what?
On the Skype of Jackie.
No, I didn't. And I don't think I can do it now because I think it cuts us off. So I'll have to take
a look
at it after wrap this up. But and
it's
I
just
think
our
we
latest.
Should be wrapping it up, don't you?
We should.
Okay. Listen, folks, thank you so much for listening.
That's right.
God forbid, unfortunately. We can probably do one after Christmas. But listen, everybody have a safe Christmas. Everybody have a nice happy Hanukkah. And just remember something, folks. Hanukkah and Christmas have more in common than you think. Don't forget, Jesus was a Jew. All right? Remember that. And the reason why we're called Christians is because Christian means Christ follower. But, you know, Jesus Christ was a Jew, and that's how he was raised. So, you know, Hanukkah starts tomorrow. Just give it a little nod. You know, hey, acknowledge it. So from me,
Mary kept the kosher kitchen.
Yeah, I'm gonna make latkes actually because I love making latkes.
I like eating them. I don't like making them, but
they're easy to make. Yeah, but
I wouldn't know.
All right, people.
I wouldn't know. I was just before you called. I was in the kitchen. Vicino,
okay. Listen, everybody. If we don't do a podcast before Christmas, have a wonderful and merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Okay? And Lou, you want to say now?
Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. On our website, politicalurm.com, Blueberry, Apple, iTunes, Kadias Minds, Facebook, Twitter. Oh, goodness, you name it. I got a veritable bag of them like Santa Claus has got gifts. In the meantime, be very happy, healthy, and safe. And may God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.